Wow, Jacob Jin, it's been a while. It's been a while. I've been away from my desk here. Wanted to talk to you about an interesting law and concept that the Torah focuses upon, and that has to do with the calendar. Tomorrow, Shabbat, is the first day of the first month of the year in the Jewish calendar, and that is the first day of the month of Nisan. And there's a lot to describe here, but in short, the Torah says that you got to make sure that the Passover falls in the spring, and the month of Passover needs to be considered the first month of the year. We count the year based on that. Now, here's the question. Here's the question. Why does the Torah make such a big fuss over Passover being in the spring? The Torah repeats this idea four times. Four times it uses the strong word of Shamor, Shmor, et Chodesh Aviv. It uses four times it talks about the Aviv. It makes mention and focuses on the fact that Passover needs to be in the spring, and he uses this word, guard it, guard. See, it's unique. We don't say, guard the tzitzis, you know, like you need a guard for the tzitzis. I mean, tzitzis is good, you know, but, guard the prayer book, you know, like you have guards around the prayer book. Like, you don't have guards, you know, around the prayer books. I mean, it's just not a thing. It's just not a thing. You know, they're some very significant and very few things in the Torah that the Torah actually says guard it. For example, guard the Shabbat. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Shamor, right? Shmor at Yom HaShabbat Lekacho. Guard Shabbat. Okay, we get it. It's a big deal. Shmor at Chodesh Aviv, like guard the spring, that Passover in the spring. In fact, I can't think of a single other mitzvah in the Torah where the Torah says guard it. It's a very strong imagery. And besides which, who cares what the weather is? I mean, do we do mitzvahs based upon what the weather is? You know, nobody says, oh, wow, you know what? Hey, it's a nice day out today. You know, let's take out our tefillin and put them on, you know? Like, Judaism doesn't work that way. You put on your tefillin every day. We don't care if it's raining or the sun is out, right? So what's how to make sense of this kind of strange commandment? I'd like to share a couple, perhaps a couple of thoughts that the Torah might be explaining. First of all, there's a separate law in regards to Passover that we need to reenact the Passover story, which means, when we sit down at the Seder, we begin the Seder, so to speak, this feeling the pain of the exile, feeling the pain of the suffering in Egypt, and then we go free, right? So basically, it's a unique mitzvah, it's a unique holiday, it's a unique commandment that basically it's the only time that we actually reenact the event from long ago during the actual story. So we have the salt water, you know, which just reminds us of the tears. But then we have the wine, which reminds us of the salvation. You know, it's like after the Super Bowl, you bring out the champagne, etc. That's the whole thing. So basically, look, in Egypt, when we left Egypt, we got amazing, beautiful clothing from the Egyptians. Right? So we sit at the Seder with beautiful clothing. We have beautiful silver vessels because that's how we got out of Egypt. They gave us gold and silver vessels. You know, we eat the flat matzah bread, right? Just like we did back then. We sit with our family together at the Seder, right? Just like they sat together with their families, back then. And so too, the weather, we reenact the weather. The weather. Who cares about the weather? Yeah, but when you're reenacting the Exodus story, and the Bible clearly tells us that the Jewish people left in amazing weather. It was amazing weather. It was amazing weather. Therefore, we want to make sure to reenact the weather. You might say, who cares? Like, who cares about the weather? Why is that so important? Like, why is it, why is that, why is that a big deal in regards to the Exodus itself? And this leads me to my second thought and point, and that is part of the message here, I believe, is a message that it's a perfect world. It's a perfect world. You walk outside, and you know, starting tomorrow in the month of Passover, and the world is perfect. It looks perfect. It's the spring. Everything is, you know, turning green and beautiful. The weather is gorgeous. The outdoors is beautiful. The world is beautiful. And that itself is a reminder that life is perfect. Life is perfect, and life is perfect always. You see, even though we do it, we celebrate Passover in the spring, but it's not. That's not the main idea. The main idea is that life is beautiful always. We might not always feel it, right? But we celebrate it. And that's why tomorrow there's something very unique, which always fascinates me. There's a once a year blessing. Once a year. Starting tomorrow and during the whole month of Passover. The blessing is that it's a perfect world. We say that blessing once a year. It's a perfect world. The world is perfect. Check it out in your prayer book. An amazing, kind of exhilarating blessing. So that's what God is telling us. No, you better make sure that Passover is in the spring, because in order for us to feel that life is perfect, and life has always been perfect, even though during the winter we didn't feel it. And thirdly, and finally, there's another theme, and that is the theme of a renewal and rebirth. Rebirth. Spring is about renewal, new life, right? It's like coming like back from the dead, right? The dormant world that looked, you know, the trees that looked dead, and the world, the forest that looked empty. Suddenly springs back to life, right? This is the story of the Jewish people, right? Therefore, we celebrate the Passover in the spring. Why? Because Passover is the celebration of the birthday of the Jewish people. And I'm not just saying that as an expression. The Bible itself says this in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Goy mikerev goy. God took us a nation from within a nation, right? What happens if you have a person within a person, and that person emerges, that's called a birth, right? That's what every baby is born that way, right? A person within a person, then it comes out. That's what God calls us, the Jewish people, B'ni B'chori Yisrael, my firstborn child. We are called a child, so to speak, of God. We are born from God, right? We are born from God. That's God's description. God says to Pharaoh, right? That's the message that God sends Moses to tell Pharaoh. My firstborn child, right? My firstborn son, Israel. In fact, Rabbi David Foreman described the imagery of the Jew emerging from his home in Egypt on the night of the Seder. If you recall, right, we're supposed to take blood and smear it on the doorposts, on the doorway, right, and the doorposts of our homes. Right? That's what happened on the Seder night in Egypt. You know, the night they left, and he points out that imagery itself is a birth imagery, right? A bloody an opening, right, which is a bloodied opening, a person, you know, emerges from that bloody opening, right? That's like a birth experience. That's exactly what it is, right? The Jewish people are being born individually, family by family. In fact, Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, around chapter 15 or 16, is the description of the Jewish people leaving Egypt. And again, we're described as a baby being born. Now, in addition to this, right, this is somewhat Kabbalistic, what I'm about to explain, but this concept of the Jewish calendar being entirely pivoted around the month of Nisan and Passover being in the spring, Again, it's not just that Passover needs to be in the spring. The entire Jewish calendar is built and based solely upon that single idea. Okay, so the whole Jewish calendar, which is its own commandment, is based upon Passover being in the spring. And the way the rabbis refer to this is, quote, the Sod Ha'ibur, which means the secret of the birth. That's literally how it's described. The secret of the birth, right? What does that mean? Right? The secret of the Jewish calendar is one which gives birth. Okay? In very short Kabbalistic terms, the male energy of the sun, which is constant and powerful, and the female energy of the moon, right, which is, the moon has like a period, right, like a woman, when that male energy of the sun and the female energy of the moon come together, right, when we unite, and the Torah instructs us to unite the solar reality with the lunar reality and force them together, right? That's what Shemar et Chodesh Aviv means. Right? It means that Passover, which is lunar-oriented, it must be in the spring, which is solar-oriented. So sun and moon merge like masculine energy and feminine energy, right? And a feminine egg. And what happens when a masculine energy and feminine egg merge in the womb? A baby is born. So too, when the sun and the moon meet, right, over Passover, a month is born. A month is born? Yes, it is. Like this month. Today's the last day. Right? The Torah forces us to make sure that they unite. And part of that being uniting is that months are born, which is extra months of the year. Like, that's why sometimes the Jewish year has 13 months. I cannot explain that more than I have already now without, you know, making it too boring. But that's the concept. So therefore, again, you see the concept of birth. That's what I'm showing you. The concept that spring is it corresponds to, it symbolizes birth, right? The whole world comes back from the dead and is born. So too, the Jewish people are born in this month. And I think the lesson and the message here of this idea is that we need to learn is that just like the natural world is born, we all individually have a rebirth, a renewal in this month of Nisan. The spiritual energy of Passover allows us to be born again, to start over, to recreate ourselves. And finally, I would say that in closing, the verses in Isaiah and the rabbis describe the future redemption as a birth as well. There are verses in the prophets that describe the future redemption as a birth, meaning even the way we talk about Chevle Mashiach, the birth pangs of the Mashiach, means the future redemption is going to be like the past redemption. The past redemption is like a birth. This future redemption is also like a birth. The past redemption was in the month of Nisan. The Talmud says that the future redemption is also in the month of Nisan, which means, right, on Passover, we have this opportunity to be reborn, not only individually, but nationally, right? And please God, it should be this month. That's why, that's one of the reasons why we read the Haftorah from the prophets on Passover of the dead bones, which rise again in Ezekiel chapter 37, famously. We read it on Passover because there's a tradition that the resurrection of the dead, meaning, right, the dead being reborn, right, will take place on Passover in Chodesh Aviv. That's the tradition. Therefore, the rebirth, the Messiah will come and the Jewish people will emerge from the exile. That's a birth. The dead will rise again. That's being reborn, right? Please God, may it be this very month. This very month is a month of redemption. May we merit to celebrate all that together. Blessing each and every one of you with a Chodesh Tov and a beautiful spring, not only physically in your physical surroundings around you, but a spiritual spring. A spiritual spring. You should will spring up. It should be not just a springboard, but a springborn. All right, Shabbat Shalom.